Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, world, and welcome into Trust the Tape, episode 10.16.2018. Welcome to the party. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh at JC1053 on the Twitter. You can hear me on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas-Fort Worth, the flagship of the Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. Don't get it mistaken, Dane. Baseball is a thing. And the great Dane Brugler is my co-host from The Athletic. Not DFW. You're from Big Athletic. TheAthletic.com. You're a national guy. Yeah. I'm from The Athletic DFW. You are from Daddy Athletic. The great Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on Twitter. And the biggest thing we're going to do today is, I believe, are we doing the full unveil of the updated top 32, the big board?
We'll definitely touch on most of it. We probably won't unveil all of it, but definitely touch on the strong points. And this is going to go up on Wednesday on The Athletic, so I encourage you to check it out there. But this is my what I did one in the preseason. We touched on that on one of the previous Trust the Tape episodes. And then I wanted to wait. And I mean, we could do this every week where it's just all this fluctuation, but wanted to wait till midseason. We're halfway through October, halfway through the college football season, a good chance to make the updates. Plenty of new faces, plenty of newcomers based on the first half of the college football season. Plenty of guys that have fallen out, including a couple SEC quarterbacks.
Oh, no!
But still three quarterbacks included on this top 32 edition. It's dominated by defensive line, just like the preseason draft board, and dominated by the SEC.
Okay, so we have two choices. Shall we recap the weekend, or shall we jump right into the board? And
well, we have to touch on the weekend. Four top 10 teams lose. Plenty of surprises. LSU, I mean, if you're not a believer in what they're doing down there in Baton Rouge, I mean, what's going to convince you with the quality wins?
I need the quarterback
have
to, like, throw touchdowns.
He ran for two. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts. Yeah, I guess that counts.
They just demolished Georgia. It was close for, you know, probably the first two quarters, and just LSU ran away with it in the second half, winning by almost three touchdowns. So Georgia's a good team, but what the defense did to shut down Fromm, Greedy Williams, I really like Riley Ridley. I think Riley Ridley is a top five receiver in this draft class.
Better than his brother, I'm sure.
He's a little bigger than his brother.
Will he jump further?
I think he will, yes.
Yeah, that's important.
It is important.
Your broad jump is what matters.
But at the same time, Greedy Williams shut him down for most of the game. He did have a touchdown later on, but wasn't against Greedy. So, you know, Georgia's still a good team. They're still in this in the race with just one loss. But credit to LSU for what they did. It's tough to go into Baton Rouge, come away with a win. Georgia was not able to do it.
Well, Michigan went into Scone and beat them by 100. So that's a nice little game there.
Michigan in Ann Arbor, man, they're tough. And they look a lot different than the Michigan we saw week one against Notre Dame.
So, Shea Patterson, just let him run. It changes things. I see nine carries for 90 yards and a touchdown. That kind of helps your offense.
Let him use his athleticism. That's what he's best at. He has an arm, but he's still not a consistent downfield passer. You can tell with his reads, with his accuracy. It's just not there yet. Slowly he's getting better. The Michigan team that we saw against Wisconsin is what I expected to see in the opener against Notre Dame. But hey, they're playing well, and they've got a tough one this weekend against Michigan State. But if they get past the Spartans, who had a big win against Penn State in Happy Valley over the weekend, it's going to be set up for a nice showdown in the big game, Ohio State, Michigan, first Saturday after Thanksgiving. That'll be fun.
Okay, so the Big 12 is a train wreck.
Yeah.
All right, West Virginia got smoked by Iowa State, but Iowa State has one of my favorite players in the country, David Montgomery, running back.
He's terrific.
For almost 200 yards.
And game back, too.
I just looked up numbers, and I think he's under 5 yards carry in the season. I don't care. That's Iowa State. They can't block. They're probably outmanned.
He also plays in the Big 12 where no one tackles.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But just watching that dude play, I want him on NFL team.
Yeah, he's fun. I think he's a top five back in this class. I don't think he's not going to be my top back, but
who is going to be the top back now that Rodney Anderson at OU is out for the year?
Rodney Anderson was the only running back that made the preseason top 32 draft board. Now that he's done, and even if he declares, you know, with the medical history, the durability questions, it's a
probably
not going to be a top five running back. We'll see. But Damian Harris from Alabama, top senior, he might be the top running back when it's all said and done. A guy that I really like, Zach Moss from Utah, a guy that I don't hear a lot of people talking about him, but he's a angry, violent runner, balanced, quick. If you give him the rock, he's gonna average you 6 yards a carry in the Pac-12. So he's definitely high on the radar. I think he's a chance to be a top 50 pick. David Montgomery's right there. Benny Snell from Kentucky. Elijah Holyfield. Georgia needs to get him the ball more. Evanderson, get him the ball more.
Anytime that somebody has an athletic parent that was famous, I assume they're going to be great at whatever they play. So I would give him the ball.
Well, and his dad was a big heavyweight boxer, and Elijah's kind of built perfectly for a running back. You know, he's got that compact, sturdy build where he just ran over an LSU safety on Saturday, but he had 7 carries. I don't know why DeAndre Swift's outstanding. Don't get me wrong. But I think they got away from the run game way too much. And I get it. LSU's a good run-defending team with Devin White at linebacker, what they have up front with Lawrence and some of those other guys. But Georgia, I don't know. Feed your best players, and that's some of your running backs. So surprised to see that. But no, it's not a great running back group. You know, we've seen running backs go high the last few years, a couple in the top 10. This year...
You can find running backs, Dane.
Well... Yeah,
I don't
disagree. And that's why there is not a single running back in my updated midseason top 32.
Okay, so you and NFL people wanted to see a Oregon win over Washington for Justin Herbert's sake, right? To have a big win against a highly ranked program. And so there you have it. Overtime game against Washington, and Justin Herbert, the quarterback at Oregon, is... I'm looking around at the rest of the quarterbacks and looking forward to next April, and Justin Herbert week in and week out, it's like, okay, yeah, he played well again. And everybody else, Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State.
Haskins still there.
He's still there.
He's propping up Ohio State, who had trouble with Minnesota.
Everybody else, I'm just like, oh, man, this we're probably not going to repeat last year where we had 5 first-round quarterbacks.
No, and I do have 3 quarterbacks in my top 32, which we'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, with Herbert, and it wasn't a phenomenal performance by Herbert. He played better in the Stanford game, played better in the Cal game, but he still did enough to help his team win. He had only 56% completions, just over 200 yards, but he made plays when they needed him to. On third downs, he was 7-of-12 for 85 yards. Both of his touchdowns came on third down. The one right before halftime was just beautiful. Flushed from the pocket, rolling to his left. He was at the Washington 12-yard line, found his receiver in the corner of the end zone, threw a seed, and it was a perfect placement. And credit to the receiver for making a beautiful hands catch and getting the 1 foot in for the score. So Herbert, look, NFL teams are going to go nuts when he goes back to school. But if he comes out, he's going to be the top quarterback, which we've been saying since the summer. And
if he doesn't come out, we're going to have no quarterbacks picked in the draft.
It's going to be interesting when you have teams, and I've heard from a lot of fans that, well, a lot of teams got their quarterbacks last year. There's going to be teams that want their quarterback. You look at the Giants, especially.
Maybe the Broncos.
John Elway was at the game watching Herbert from the press box. If you watch Denver, you know they need a quarterback to groom for the future. You look at what's happening in Oakland. Derek Carr might be out. It's easy to get out of that contract.
Well, they should probably trade him. They're trading all the good players.
Just
go ahead and trade him.
Nothing would be surprising with what happens with the Raiders right now with what John Gruden's doing to that roster. So there's plenty of teams, and there's always surprises. I mean, the Chargers, Phillip Rivers, he's still playing at a high level, but at some point you have to prepare for the future. You just never know. There's always surprise teams, always stuff that happens in the offseason. So there will be quarterbacks or teams that need quarterbacks. And if Justin Herbert decides to go back to school, which is, I'm it is likely. Now, I said this last year with Sam Darnold.
It's likely he goes back?
I think it's slightly above 50-50 he goes back. So I don't know if that's likely or not. But it's
and in that case, we're hoping that Dwayne Haskins would declare and as a guy who's been a one-year starter.
Yeah, a redshirt sophomore who needs more experience. I hope these guys make the decision that's best for them, not just based on draft order and what other quarterbacks come out. I mean, if you need another year, you need another year. But with Herbert, the chance to play with his younger brother, I think he's... The thing with Sam Darnold last year, he finished that season and he looked around the locker room and
he saw what was coming.
All right, yeah, I'm out. Okay. Now, I mean, USC has talent, but they're all young guys. They're playing a lot of freshmen, a lot of young guys. I don't blame Sam Darnold for leaving when he did. With Herbert, though, it's going to be a little different. He's going to look around the locker room and say, okay, we have a chance to win the Pac-12 next year. And I'm going to have a chance to play with my wide receiver, tight end, freshman brother, who's a four-star guy. That's going to sound awfully appealing, especially because he's a Eugene kid. He grew up a couple miles down the street from Oregon. A chance to lead his team to a Pac-12 title, if they don't get it done this year, that's going to be pulling at his heartstrings. So don't be surprised if he goes back. And if that happens, we'll be struggling to talk about this quarterback group. Like I mentioned, Jarrett Stidham, Drew Locke, they're struggling. And Drew Locke against Alabama, I mean, it went about kind of what you would expect on Saturday.
Yeah, and how was that, Dane? How'd old Drew Locke do?
Well, it's tough. And you're talking about an Alabama defense with that defensive line, and that's what I wrote about this week in my NFL draft recap on The Athletic. Those three monsters on the Alabama defensive line. First of all, Quinnen Williams has been the biggest revelation, I think, of this for scouts, just from a scouting perspective. He didn't have a start. He played a little bit off the bench last year. He showed some flashes when you watched Alabama, but he was not a starter. You did not really consider him. You consider him a guy with potential, but through seven games this year, he's been outstanding. He's my highest graded player in the SEC. He's debuted at my midseason top 32 board at 4 overall. I mean, that's
wait.
A big,
so he wasn't
rise.
On it.
No.
And now he's number 4.
Now he went that high. He's been that good.
So is he? Let me ask you this, because I actually haven't watched him. I've seen Alabama play, but I haven't watched him.
Number 92.
Is he a pass rusher?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking back to Jerron Reed and A'shaun Robinson.
Jerron Payne
guys,
gave you a little bit of pass
rush. He gave
rush.
You some.
Yeah.
Well, he looked like he should give you some.
Right, right.
At least the traits. But, these run stuffers, I fall in love with them because they're fun to watch on tape, because you can just dominate other 300-pounders and it's fun.
Right.
But in today's NFL, if you're not getting after the passer, you don't have a ton of value.
And that's why I'm not as high on Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson, who a lot of people think might be a top 10 pick. I mean, I still think he has a chance to be a first rounder, but I'm not as high on him because he offers zero pass rush. Now, he helps everybody else in the defensive line, but back to Quinnen Williams, it doesn't matter which tape you pull up. You watch the A&M tape, you watch the Arkansas tape, you watch against Missouri on Saturday. He is the quickest off the ball. I posted a screenshot of one of the plays on Twitter, and it looks like it's Photoshopped. Because no one's moving. The ball isn't,
normally refs will call you offsides on that because they get tricked.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that happens at some point. But, Missouri obviously in a shotgun. The ball isn't even in Drew Locke's hands yet. And Quinnen Williams, he's in the backfield. The guard has no shot when you have that type of snap quickness and the anticipation. And, yeah, he's not just a power guy or a guy that surprises you. He has the quickness. He understands how to use his hands. He's not just a run stuffer, but he can also get after the passer. So he reminds me, and I hate doing this because,
Aaron Donald.
No.
Oh, okay.
But, still a very good defensive tackle in the NFL. Reminds me a little bit of Gerald McCoy when he was at OU. Just the way he could beat you with power. He could beat you with quickness. He could beat you with the way he uses his hands. He had a nose for the football where he's like a magnet to the football. It doesn't matter where the ball's going. He finds it. So, Quinnen Williams, now we'll see how he finishes. He's only a redshirt sophomore, but if he plays like he does or down the stretch as he did in the first seven games, he's going to be a high draft pick. He's been really impressive. But the other guys on that Alabama D-line, Raekwon Davis, Isaiah Bugs, they're both top 40 guys. And so when you have that type of defensive line at Alabama, I mean, good luck for opponents. It's going to be a long day for your offensive line.
Well, now with these top 10 teams losing across college football, How many teams do you have left that you look at and say, you know what, legitimate chance to be the champion this year? Obviously, Alabama.
Well, to be the champion or make the playoffs?
To be the champion. Mm. Now, you can't. We can't say it's just one team that has a shot. Alabama's no doubt the favorite for sure.
Right.
But how many other teams have a legitimate shot? Georgia just killed themselves.
I mean, Georgia's not completely out of it. Just,
I guess you run the table and you win the, if you, can they, yeah, they can get to the title game still. If you can get to the title game and beat Alabama, then sure.
They still have a path.
LSU has a path.
LSU definitely has it. They've got Alabama coming up here in 2 weeks, first week in November.
Ohio State has a path.
Absolutely. Ohio State has maybe the easiest path to foresee just because they have the toughest. I mean, Michigan State will be tough. I tell you what, Purdue this Saturday, the way Ohio State's defense is played, you worry about a Purdue this Saturday because it's going to be a shootout. And Dwayne Haskins, he's going to get his. I mean, he's propping up that Ohio State team right now. But the offensive line has struggled to protect him. And the back half of the Ohio State defense there are a lot of question marks. They don't have safeties. They don't. Jordan Fuller, I liked a
lot. You're playing with 9 guys?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's what it seems like, at least.
Yeah.
I like Jordan Fuller a lot coming into this year. He has not played well. Corners have played up and down. The linebackers, not very good. So, Ohio State, it's all about Haskins. If he plays well, they've got a shot. But it's going to come down to that Michigan game and probably Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game, which they should be able to beat. So we'll see about Ohio State. But Clemson, they've got a tough one this weekend against NC State, undefeated NC State.
Uh-oh.
And I'll tell you what, NC State, if you haven't seen them yet, good chance to check them out. We obviously talked about them at length last year with what they had on the defensive line and everything else. This year, they've got several NFL guys. Ryan Finley, a quarterback. He's one of the top seniors. I think him as more of like a third-round guy. I love Harmon, their wide receiver. Pratt, their middle linebacker, is fantastic. On the offensive line, they've got two guys. The center and the left tackle are both future NFL draft picks. So NC State against Clemson on Saturday is going to be a fun one to watch. And if NC State knocks off Clemson, I don't see any way an ACC team gets in.
Well, what about NC State?
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Undefeated.
They are undefeated.
Could they run the table?
Yeah, it's possible. The only thing with NC State is they haven't been tested yet.
Right.
They had the game against West Virginia canceled because of the hurricane. So now if they're able to go through the rest of the ACC undefeated, then you're right. They would get in, but as good as NC State has been, and if they do beat Clemson,
there should be a stumble somewhere.
I still find it hard to believe they go through the entire schedule undefeated, but you never know. It's possible. And so I don't think an undefeated NC State would be left out. Notre Dame, they struggled with Pitt over the weekend. And you look at Notre Dame's, that Michigan game in the opener looks really good. The Stanford win, Virginia Tech win don't look as good as they would have in past years. But Notre Dame still, I mean, as long as they go undefeated, they're in. That's, I think the bigger question is if they have one loss, how does that look? So, do you think the Big 12's done? You think they're toast? I mean, they're going to cannibalize each other in November.
Yeah.
And in West Virginia, Iowa State, credit Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell is such a heck of a coach.
It seems like way too many good Big 12 teams end up having big-time trouble with Iowa State.
If I was any Power 5 team and I needed to fill my head coach vacancy, Matt Campbell's my first call. Easy. And I'm going to throw whatever money I have from boosters at him to try to get him away from there with what he's done.
So Texas and Oklahoma have the brand name to compete with whatever brand name you want to run out there.
And they both have one loss.
If you can end the year with one loss, then you need an NC State loss somewhere, which sounds weird, but you need an NC State loss. Because you assume the SEC champ is in, for sure. So one loss, Texas or Oklahoma, up against what? You won't jump undefeated Ohio State, undefeated Bama. Let's just throw those two in to start.
Okay.
Ohio State and Bama. Then what? What else do you...
Notre Dame,
potentially.
Right.
I think one loss, Notre Dame. I would put a Big 12 champ in over them if it's Texas or Oklahoma.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, but yeah, you're talking about a 12-0 Notre Dame versus 12-1 Texas. And the thing that Texas
12-0 Notre Dame, you might put in over Texas.
The thing that Texas has going for it is, you know, that loss was week one. And, you know, it's a long time ago. Texas is a much different team now. They're playing much better. And, you know, you can make all that stuff up. I'm looking at NC State's schedule. After, if they get by Clemson, Syracuse, which they should beat, but it should be a competitive game. Florida State, Wake Forest, at Louisville, at UNC, and versus East Carolina. So, man, NC State, you never know. They could pull it off if they get by Clemson. But
Pac-12 is dead.
It's going to be tough. I mean, it's not a very good conference right now. I mean,
the only teams that could even finish with one loss are Oregon, Washington State, and Colorado.
Right.
Washington's already got two. Stanford's got two. The Pac-12 is dead.
It's going to come down to Oregon, probably. I mean, that's their best bet, and to be a one-loss conference champion. And their one loss being that Stanford debacle that they easily should have won, that just a few mistakes here and there led to the loss. So I think Oregon's their only shot at this point. But regardless, it's going to be fun because we're going to see, I mean, we had four top 10 teams lose on Saturday. We're going to have more top 10 teams lose each week. And it's going to, you know, the playoff picture now is going to look different than, you know, what we see first week in November. So we've got plenty, and this is what makes college football so much fun. We got plenty more to talk about second half of the year.
Okay, what do we need to hit on that's coming up this weekend before we jump into whatever you're willing to give us, a sneak peek of your top 32?
Well, we mentioned NC State Clemson. That's going to be a fun one. The game is at Clemson, so not an easy place to go play Death Valley. But NC State has the veteran quarterback. They've got some dudes on defense. They can pull the upset if they, you know, play some more football. We'll see. That's a 3:30 game on ESPN. Early games, we got Michigan at Michigan State, Oklahoma at TCU. Those would be interesting games to watch. Later on, I mentioned Ohio State at Purdue. Don't sleep on that one. Purdue as a possible upset there. Just the way Ohio State's defense has played, the way the offensive line has played, you just never know. Oregon at Washington State, game day going to Pullman for the first time. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then really the only one of note, Mississippi State at LSU. That's one of those stumbling block games where LSU is riding high after that win over Georgia. Mississippi State coming in, they've got the horses to maybe pull the upset and kind of ruin LSU's high. So some quality games next weekend.
All right, now the main event. What are you willing to give us here? Tomorrow on theathletic.com, you'll have the full updated top 32 board for the NFL draft.
Yep.
Give me what you can give me today.
Well,
I want to know where quarterbacks are is what I really want to know. Justin Herbert, I know, is still going to be on there.
Yep. Top three has not changed in terms of the top three players from the preseason draft board.
Okay, so Ed Oliver is still a top three?
He's at number three.
I don't, like, I've watched the guy play, so I know what a freak he is.
Right.
I'm just struggling with, I want my top prospects to have the measurables, have the tape, and have the production numbers. And he's not going to have the production numbers.
Well, he had a heck of a game on Saturday.
Some tackles for loss.
He had five tackles for loss and two sacks on Saturday.
Okay, so we're getting it up there.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting it up there. Who did Houston play?
Was it East Carolina?
Okay.
So,
right. It counts.
It's tough when you're obviously the best player on your defense and teams are gunning for you. You know, your production. Joey Bosa had five sacks last season at Ohio State. It can be deceiving at times. Ed Oliver, to me, has not done enough where he's going to fall that far. And Justin Herbert, and he was number two at the preseason. Herbert jumps up to two just because he's been outstanding. Nick Bosa, still number one. The injury he had, hopefully we see him in November. But regardless, it's not going to be a long-term issue, something that we worry about. Nick Bosa is not getting off that number one spot, at least at this point.
So the other quarterbacks that are going to be on here.
Yep. No other quarterback made the top, 19?
Okay, and then
at 20,
Dwayne Haskins, I would assume, at 20.
I have Dwayne Haskins 20, yeah.
Listen, he's toolsy. He looks good.
It's hard to have firm conviction about a quarterback when he's made seven starts.
Yeah.
You know, he's passed every obstacle that's been in his way, and he deserves credit for that. That's why he's number 20 on this list. But for a guy that's still struggles with pressure at times, the thing that worries me the most, he's not a nimble athlete. Like, he can move, but he's not a nimble athlete. And you have to be able to move around when the pass rush gets to you and you're forced to move your feet and it, just those second chance throws. He's done it here and there, but not with any consistency, and his accuracy drops off when he has to move his feet. But with that arm, and it's a special arm, and it's not just velocity, it's accuracy, it's ball placement. His touch is getting a little bit better. So for a player that's gotten better and he has such a small sample size, you do expect him to get better and better and better. And as long as he does that throughout the course of the rest of the season, you know, he's on the trajectory of being a first round pick. And you know, we'll see. As he'll have an NFL decision to make after the year. I'm sure a lot of that will go, you know, what happens the rest of this season. But for right now, midseason, mid-October, he is number 20 on the draft board.
Okay, and then third quarterback?
Third quarterback comes in at number 31. ACC quarterback.
The ACC. ACC. Is it NC State?
From a basketball school.
Is it Duke?
Yep. Daniel Jones.
Duke's got a quarterback for
us. He does. I tell you what, you watch him and you see the mannerisms, not necessarily the play. Let me make that perfectly clear. Not necessarily the play, but the mannerisms of Peyton Manning.
Oh, I can do the mannerisms of Peyton Manning. I can make jokes and try to play in a band with Brad Paisley on commercials.
The Coach Cutliffe connection, you see that. It's painfully obvious how much Daniel Jones watches Peyton Manning within his play. He's not a big-armed guy. He doesn't have that elite arm strength. Now, he has good enough arm strength, but not elite. Reminds me a little bit of Kirk Cousins, but very smart, very cerebral, understands where to go with the football. He can move around a little bit. I like him a lot. And, you know, it's not always going to be perfect play with him. A lot of that has to do with his supporting cast. But I think he's an NFL quarterback. As a redshirt junior, if he comes out, I think he has a chance to be a first-round player.
Well.
A lot to like about him. He jumps. Well, entering the year, he was my number four quarterback.
Oh, you're knocking down my guy Will Greer right now? Is that what's happening?
Will Greer was number five.
Knocking down my guy?
Well, what have we been saying about Will Greer?
He's awesome.
Is wait till November when he faces actual teams that will put pressure on him. What happened on Saturday against Iowa State, he was sacked seven times. They put pressure on him. And it was funny. You look at the box score and
he's okay. Didn't they run very many plays?
Well, did he get hurt? And he was like 10 of 15. I mean, you know, what's going on? And you watch the game and you see how the pass rush got to him. He would hold the ball way too long. He was sacked seven times. They could not move the sticks. They could not, the possession was way in favor of Iowa State. They could not do anything on offense, and it was just a completely different team than we were used to seeing the first half or the first month and a half of the season. And that's really because what we've been saying, West Virginia didn't play anybody. They weren't tested. Finally, they were tested, kicked in the mouth, and they didn't know how to respond. And so that was my worry with Will Greer and with West Virginia as a whole. I thought we'd see it in November. Well, here we go. Matt Campbell gives it to us here in mid-October. I still like Will Greer. Still think there's some things.
Bunch of haters out there.
He does things well. But again, if you put pressure on him, if you force him to scramble, he's going to make terrible decisions. His accuracy falls off a cliff, and that's a huge red flag. So he needs to finish strong now. Now, a game like this isn't the worst thing for him now. You know, work on some things, get better. So when November comes and you're facing Texas and Tech, and Oklahoma, you can perform better when you have the bright lights shining down on you. So Will Greer, like I said, Daniel Jones is my number four quarterback coming in. It was Herbert, Stidham, Locke, Jones, I think Greer. I think that was the top five coming into the year. Now, Jarrett Stidham, the way he's played, he's out. Drew Locke, I expect three games in the SEC this year. He's completing 48% of his passes. He has two touchdowns, and one of them is a rushing touchdown. He just has not been impressive. I know a lot of it depends on the defense that they've played. He's been without his number one wide receiver, Emmanuel Hall, but you still expect a quarterback of his, with his experience, with his skill set, you still expect him to overcome those circumstances and play above what we've seen. So Drew Locke falls out. And Daniel Jones, he was my number four quarterback coming into the year. He's number three right now. He's deserved this spot.
Okay, now one of the things that we don't hear or haven't heard a ton about this year is the wide receivers. I don't know if this is going to be a good class, great class, average class. How many do you have in there? Did anybody make it?
Two made it, and this is a wide receiver class where I have yet to see a wide receiver where I feel confident that he's a top 20 guy. You know, where you point to and say, yeah, he's going to be a top 10 pick, top 15, even a top 20 pick. I have not seen that guy this year, but I do think between picks 20 and like 60, we could see almost double-digit wide receivers because there's plenty of guys.
I've heard that before. This is last year.
Right, exactly. There's plenty of guys you like, but they're just missing one thing that makes them worth a top 20 pick. So A.J. Brown, for example, he comes in at 28. He's the top receiver. He's predominantly a slot guy. Now, you like what he does. He's a strong route runner, strong hands, knows where the sticks are, very reliable. But there's no tape of him on the outside facing press coverage. And if you're going to take a big receiver like that, you want to be able to see him on the outside and how he can do. We haven't seen that up to this point. So A.J. Brown, still good enough to get into the top 32. He's at 28. And at number 32, okay, this is where I had three or four wide receivers I was considering here with this pick. Deebo Samuel from South Carolina. I love Riley Ridley from Georgia. I had Arcega Whiteside from Stanford, considering him here. I went with Marquise Brown. The only Big 12 player to make, I think he's the only Big 12 player to make the top 32, comes in at 32. Rodney Anderson, the Oklahoma running back, was the only Big 12 player to make the initial top 32. Now it's Marquise Brown.
So small.
He is. And that's
so
what,
fast.
Well, and you know, I think you look at Tyreek Hill and what the Chiefs have been able to do, teams are going to want to try and replicate that. And no, Marquise Brown is not the same size. He's about...
You got to be so special to do what Tyreek Hill is doing.
You do.
Because even John Ross, like, he can technically run faster than Tyreek Hill, but he can't... They just can't figure out how to make him impact the game like that.
But that's not going to stop teams from trying.
Right.
And with Marquise Brown, yes, he's 10 to 15 pounds smaller than Tyreek Hill, doesn't have the same type of build, but we know he's fast. I don't care what conference you're in. You know he's fast. And this isn't like a... You know, you look at Corey Coleman coming from the Big 12, undersized receiver, wasn't able to adapt. Marquise Brown...
Doesn't know how to run routes.
Right. Marquise Brown has special speed, and if you use him the correct way, you can get production out of him. So I put him in there at 32. Like I said, there's several other receivers I could have easily put here. There's going to be kind of a glut of these receivers in that 20 to 50 range, depending on which underclassmen come out. We did lose one of the receivers who could have been a top 50 prospect, DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, suffered a neck injury. Unfortunately, he's out for the year. We'll have to see how that not only impacts his draft decision, whether he stays or goes, but if he does enter the draft, are there any long-term effects with a serious injury like that? So we'll find out about that. But yeah, wide receivers, only two of them made it, A.J. Brown and Marquise Brown, and none in the first 27.
Offensive line.
Offensive line, no big changes there. Top two tackles being Greg Little from Ole Miss, left tackle, and then Jonah Williams, tackle from Alabama. I believe those are the only two tackles that made it, or only two offensive linemen that made it.
Okay, stop letting me interrogate you, or I'm going to get all 32 players. You just give me what you want to give me. Otherwise, I'm going to go position by position and get them all.
Well, let's go with some newcomers based on what we've seen so far this year. I think one of the biggest risers has been Josh Allen from Kentucky, the poster child this year of why it can be beneficial to go back to school, work on the things you need to work on, and become a much better player. Josh Allen's 20 pounds heavier. He's not only playing better, he's playing stronger. He's expanded his pass rush moves, and he has deserved a spot in the top 10. So he made it a number 9 overall. Who we got here? Some corners, newcomers this year, or in this edition, Byron Murphy from Washington, who second week, I wrote about in the second week of the season. He was outstanding. I almost considered him in the first top 32. He definitely made it this time. He's in the top 15. Ja'Chai Polite from Florida, the edge rusher, who is raw, but when you have that speed, you can impact the pocket, and you're going to go high. If you can do that. So he comes in at number 16 overall. Who else we got here? DeAndre Walker from Georgia, pass rusher who, you know, Lorenzo Carter last year, Davin Bellamy, he kind of waited his turn this year as a senior, and he's taking advantage of his chances. Not only gets a run, rushing the passer, he's all over the place. He can... not just speed, but he can stack the point of attack. He can hold up versus offensive lineman blocks. So DeAndre Walker's earned a spot in the top 32. He's in there. He comes in at number 29 overall.
Okay, now that you got to stop now.
Okay,
you got to save it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that
you're pulling out a salary. You got to chill out a little bit.
Well, it's,
for just a minute.
The great thing about The Athletic is, you know, it doesn't really matter about clicks. You know, it's
about quality.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they get guys like us.
Exactly.
Super quality. That's what I'm talking about. You could go on there today and check out the tale of the tape of Dak Prescott and Cole Beasley if you're a Cowboy fan. I wrote that this morning.
Very nice.
So, yeah. All right. That is outstanding stuff from Dane Brugler. And I was here, too, to give him a break from talking once in a while. And we will talk to you guys next week on Trust the Tape.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.